Over the course of the history of this world, God has always had his men to stand for him. No matter what the particular situation, God has never permitted evil men to have a continual upper hand. Yes, there's been times when evil men have held great sway and have committed some of the most heinous deeds and wickedest crimes against God's people. But God in mercy and in love has always raised up those to stand for him in every age and in every generation. And even though wickedness and sinfulness has pervaded this world, yet God has always maintained his cause and maintained a witness. As we look down through the corridor of history, we can see how God has always had a light burning in this dark and rebellious world. In Noah's day, it was an age of great wickedness, an age of sin. Genesis 6 and 5 tells us, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." This was a society that was completely corrupted, completely polluted, a rebellious, a society that had rejected God in every part, that had thrown off all restraint, and lived in complete rebellion to God. Yet, we read in Genesis 6 and 9, Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Even in the midst of that wicked and iniquitous generation, in which there was no restraint, in which man was just consumed and engulfed by sin, God had his man. God had Noah, a just and a perfect man, to stand for him and to maintain his cause. We can think of many, many other examples. When there was a wicked Pharaoh in Egypt that knew not Joseph, God had his Moses. When the Midianites were overrunning Israel, God had his Gideon. When the Philistines had their champion Goliath, who defied the living God, then God had his David. When there was an Ahab upon the throne in Israel, God had his Elijah. Even in pagan Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar ruled with an iron fist, God had his men. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to stand for him and to maintain his cause and the witness of righteousness. As we think of the Dark Ages, when Rome ruled the Western world with almost total control of everything, there was those that still held the truth of God and held on to that which was right and that which was of the Lord himself. We can think of people like the Waldenses, who maintained the truth in the face of much persecution. They were faithful, even in the face of great and bloody persecution that issued out from Rome. In the Protestant Reformation, God raised up a succession of men, like William Tyndale, Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox, and many others, to batter and to bombard Rome and the papacy, and to greatly weaken her almost complete grip of the nations. God has always had his man for the moment, and his moment for the man. And he will never allow evil men or wicked powers to wipe his test of the face of this earth. He will always maintain his cause, even in the most wicked and the most depraved society. Christ says in Matthew 16 and 18, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What a promise that is to remember in this wicked generation in which we live. God will build his church. He will establish his kingdom. He will bring his purposes to pass. And not even the wickedness and the depravity of man can hinder God and his great eternal purpose. However, as we come to the portion of God's word that we have read today, we see not a man that is chosen of God to maintain God's cause, but right here we have a woman. Here we have one of the most remarkable stories recorded for us in God's word, of how God raises up a very attractive young woman to save his people out of the hand of a wicked man. God takes Esther, a young Jewish girl, out of obscurity, and he places her in a position that she might be his instrument for the salvation of his people. The reason why we are reading about Esther this morning, the reason why the Spirit of God has recorded the story of Esther in the Word of God, is because of how Esther was faithful to God in her life. That is why this book is contained in Scripture. Because this young woman who was brought from nowhere. God put her in this privileged position. And there she was faithful to God. Faithful in living for God. And that is why the book of Esther is contained in Scripture. Because of her faithfulness. She was courageous and bold. And in her generation, she stood for God. And she did that which God required of her. And that is what God requires of all of His people. That is what God requires of each one of us today. That we are faithful to Him. That we honor God in our lives. If you are saved, if you are a child of God today, if you know Christ as your own and personal Savior, then what God requires of you is that you are faithful. Just as Esther was faithful here in this book. And this morning I want us to look at Esther. And look particularly at Mordecai's words to Esther. In verse 14 of chapter 4. And to think of the subject being faithful in your generation. Being faithful in your generation. Esther was faithful in her generation. Yes, it was a dark day. But she was faithful in that dark day. And that is what God requires of each one of us. First thing I want us to notice here about Esther is the responsibility of being faithful. The responsibility of being faithful. It tells us in verses 13 and 14. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" We see here how Mordecai makes Esther aware of her responsibility to be faithful. The wicked Haman had hatched a plan to destroy the Jews. His dislike and hatred of the Jews arose because of Mordecai, Esther's uncle. Mordecai would not bow down before this wicked man, would not reverence this wicked man because he was a wicked man. We read about this in chapter 3 in verses 5 and 6. If you turn back a page, it tells us there in verses 5 and 6 in chapter 3. "And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath, and he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone. For they had showed him the people of Mordecai, wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai." And so Haman was so proud and so arrogant, he wanted not only to destroy Mordecai, for not reverencing him and not bowing down before him and worshipping him. But he wanted to destroy all his people. All the Jews. Haman wanted to wipe all of the Jews off the face of the earth. That's what he wanted to do. Haman devised a plan then to do this. And we have that plan revealed in verses 8 and 10 of chapter 3. You see what Haman does. It says there, "And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore it is not for the king's prophet to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries." And the king took his ring from his hand, gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jews' enemy. And so we see what Haman does. He goes before the king and he betrays the Jews as a troublesome people. Here is a people and they are a rebellious people. A people that are prone to revolt. They are harmful to your kingdom. In the language of the day, we would call them a terrorist group. And that is exactly how Haman betrayed the Jews. Here is a terrorist group. It would be profitable if you were able to get rid of these people. It would be good for your kingdom. And that is exactly how Haman betrayed the Jews. Have you ever eaten before this evil and deceitful plan of Haman was devised? God had provided a way that the Jews could be saved. Sometime before this, the king had held a great banquet in Shushan. It was a most extravagant affair. And after 7 days of partying, the king, who was intoxicated with wine, commanded that Vashti, the queen, was to be brought in. And he wanted her to be brought in so that everybody could see her great beauty. He wanted to show off his queen. But much to the embarrassment of the king. Vashti refused. And she would not obey the king. She would not come in before Ahasuerus. She would not display herself before the people. And so the king Ahasuerus, in his rage, he got rid of Vashti. She was put away. And she would no longer be the queen. And then the king began a search for a new wife and a new queen. And he searched the length and breadth of the land for one that would please him. An attractive, a beautiful queen. And he found Esther. And we read in chapter 2, verse 17, of how Esther pleased him. It says there, and the king loved Esther above all the women. And she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And so here we have Esther now as queen. What had God done? God in his providence had brought about this situation where Esther, as a Jew, now was queen, sitting in the throne beside Ahasuerus, when her people were being threatened. When the lives of her people, her nation, were so much under threat, God had already instigated a way of salvation for them by bringing Esther to the throne. Therefore, she had this great responsibility to be faithful. God had lifted her from obscurity and placed her here that she might do a task for him. What a responsibility lay upon her shoulders. A grave and a great responsibility. But who was Esther to be responsible to or faithful to? Who was this faithfulness to? Well, she firstly had to be faithful to God. Because it was God that had, in his providence, placed her in this privileged position. It was a position in which she would have many luxuries and enjoyed many benefits. She was queen. She had servants. She had a life that had lacked for nothing. That wasn't why God had lifted Esther up and placed her into this position as queen. God had placed her here in this position that she might stand for him and that she might honor him and stand against wicked Haman, who wanted to destroy the people of God. And so if she had not stood, if she had not been faithful to God in this place that God had placed her, it was, in effect, to let the Lord down. It was to shun her responsibility. Because all that God had done for her, he'd done that she might be faithful to him. You know, it is every child of God's responsibility. It is every Christian's responsibility to honor God in the place that God has placed them in life. You may say today, well, you know, I am not in a position like Esther was. I'm not in a position of authority. God has not lifted me up to be a unique person or to be a special person. Let me say this, God in his providence has placed you exactly where you are in life that you might be faithful to him. Well, yes, you may not be the queen, or you may not hold an office of great responsibility. But the fact remains that God has placed you where you find yourself in life, that you might honor him in that position, that you might be faithful to him in that position. It might be in a position, in a workplace, in a work environment, where there's those that are against the truth of God, those that oppose the gospel. God wants you to honor him in that place and to be faithful to him there. It might be in your community, in your neighborhood. God wants you to honor him there. That's why he has placed you there. It might even be in your family. In your family setting, God wants you to honor him. Perhaps as grandparents, God wants you to be faithful to your grandchildren and tell them of Christ and pray for them. Well, you must be faithful to him because God has placed you there in his providence. This world just doesn't fall out all haphazard and whatever will be, will be. But God is sovereignly working in all the affairs of men. Therefore, as his people, we have this grave and this solemn responsibility to honor God in our lives and be faithful to him. So we look at the context of what Esther had to do here. Think of the historical setting. We can see the great responsibility that lay upon Esther to be faithful to God. The Jewish people that were being threatened were the very people that God had promised the Messiah through. This was the line of Christ. This was the line of Christ that was being threatened here. Therefore, we can say very definitely that this attack upon the Jews was an attack upon Christ. It was an attack upon his cause and upon his truth and upon the work of salvation. And that is what is set before us here in the book of Esther. The Old Testament reveals how that Christ would come through the line of the Jews. But here the very line of the Jews has been threatened by this wicked man. And so Esther had to be faithful to Christ. And that's who we have to be faithful to. It is the cause of Christ in this world. The cause of Christ. We started off today by speaking about those that were faithful to God and those that God raised up to be faithful to Him. God has raised you up to be faithful to Christ today. To be His person for Him. And the cause of Christ depends upon God's people honoring Him. But yes, we look across this world and we see the wickedness. We see the sin. We see the depravity. And our hearts can be so discouraged at times. But you know, the cause of Christ doesn't depend upon the wicked. It depends upon God's people. That's what it depends upon. Are we going to be faithful to God today? Esther here, she had this great responsibility to be faithful firstly to God. Then she also had a responsibility to be faithful to her fellow man. We see this in verse 14 as well, where it says, Esther chapter 4, verse 14, "If thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from their place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed." We read here of how her father's house would be destroyed. It was her fellow men, her brethren, that were going to be destroyed if she did not go in and plead their case before the king. The Christian carries a great responsibility of being faithful to their fellow men. David prayed in Psalm 51 and verse 14, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God." We have a responsibility to go in before the king and plead for those in our families, to plead for our nation, and to seek the King of Kings for their salvation. Salvation of men and women. That responsibility is upon our shoulders as God's people. We not only have a responsibility to pray, but we also have a responsibility to speak to them. To speak to them concerning the things of God. Think of what happened here. Mordecai, he speaks to Esther about her responsibility. He makes her aware of what she must do. And so therefore, he speaks to her and he takes up his responsibility. And that is what is so important as God's people today. When was the last time you spoke to someone about Christ? When was the last time you spoke to someone about their need of salvation? When was the last time you made someone aware that they're perishing? And they're going to be lost. And they're going to hell. That is our responsibility. The responsibility of being faithful to our fellow man. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, this is very clearly brought before us. If we turn over there to Ezekiel, chapter 33, and verse 6. We see what God says here to the watchman. Ezekiel 33, verse 6 says, "But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his own iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me." Notice what it says here. It says how the, if the watchman doesn't warn the people and the enemy comes and takes the person away, he'll be taken on his own iniquity. Yes, he'll perish. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. And what God was telling Ezekiel is, you must speak to the people the truth of God. You must warn them. That is your responsibility. It is your grave responsibility. And people are perishing all around us in sin. People are lost without Christ and without hope in this world. People are heading to hell itself, into the very flames of hell. We know the truth. We have the word of God. We know the gospel. We know about Christ. But are we speaking to them? are we too embarrassed about it? We wouldn't want to offend. We wouldn't want to annoy anyone. We need to take our responsibility. When the man known as Legion in Scripture was delivered from the demons, he wanted to go with Christ. He desired to be with Christ. And who could have blamed him? But what was Christ's response to him? Christ told him this in Mark 5:19. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. What was he telling Legion? He says, this is your responsibility. To go and tell others of Christ. To go and tell others of me. And that is our responsibility in this world. To speak to those that we are in contact with. Those that God in his providence has brought across our path, to speak to them of Jesus Christ. And how they can come to know him and can be saved. And so we see here the great responsibility in being faithful that was laid upon Esther's shoulders. Notice then, secondly, the challenge of being faithful. Esther has challenged Mordecai to be faithful to God and his people in the most direct and in the most powerful way. He throws the gauntlet down before her and places the ball in her court and makes her aware that she must be faithful. Or else her brothers and sisters, her father's house, will perish. Verse 14 makes it absolutely clear. It was Esther that must be faithful. What a challenge this was that Mordecai brings to Esther. A very direct and a very challenge. As we think of the challenge of being faithful to God, we can see here it is no easy task being faithful. No easy task. For Esther, this was without doubt a most difficult thing to do. To go in before the king without being invited was to take your life into your own hands. It says this in verse 11, and we know the story of how that if she went in before the king without being invited, and if the king didn't raise up his scepter then, she could be immediately put to death. And so Esther speaks to Mordecai about how, you know, I can't go in before the king, I haven't been invited. Mordecai responds with this challenge that he gives her in verses 13 and 14. And then see the state of Esther's heart in verses 15 and 16. Notice Esther's words here. Then Esther bid them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. The trepidation and fear of Esther here is very clear and very understandable. She says, listen, fast for me. Pray for me. What she was about to do could have cost her her life. You see, standing for God and being faithful to him in this world is no easy task. It is not easy. Yes, it is our responsibility. But that doesn't remove the fact that it is not an easy responsibility. Any old dead fish can be carried along with the flow of the river. But if you're going to swim against the tide of sin and wickedness that is continually coming against the child of God, then you will face a great challenge. A great challenge. Christ reminded his disciples of this in John 15 in the verse 18. It says over there in John 15, verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. He was saying, listen, the world's going to hate you. And he tells the disciples why the world hated him in verse 24. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father because of the works which I do. They hated Christ because of the works that he did. His works were works of obedience to his Father, faithfulness, glorifying God. When you think of the works of Christ, they're the works that men ought to rejoice in. He was the faithful one in every aspect, but because of his works, men hated him. Men hated him. And that's why he said to his disciples, if the world hate you, you know what hated me before it hated you. In other words, he's saying, if you're faithful to me, you will be hated. You will be despised. You will be opposed. And you see, that's what it is to be faithful to Christ. It is a very difficult thing. It is a very challenging thing. It's no easy thing. The reason why it's no easy task for the reason why it was no easy task for Esther to be faithful was because of the hostile environment she was in. She was in Persia, a wicked, sinful, vile place. A place that was full of sin and every depravity. If she had been in Jerusalem, things perhaps would have been different. But she was in Persia, this wicked place. And likewise, we can say for the Christian living in this world, we live in a sinful world. A world that is anti-God. A world that is anti-truth. And that's why we are faced with this great challenge of being faithful to God today. That's why it is so difficult. Because we live in a world that opposes the truth. And we see it on every hand. We have seen it recently in our own nation. With Asher's Bakery. Being faithful to God. Doing the right thing. Doing the thing that honours God. Brings the very law of the land against them. Continue to pray for Asher's Bakery. And God will be with them and give them grace and help. And so we see being faithful to God is no easy thing. The challenge is no easy thing. It's also something that the individual must take up. In this great challenge of being faithful to God, it is an individual thing. We personally must be faithful. And we see how Mordecai makes this so clear to Esther. Because he ends verse 14 with these words. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knoweth whether thou art come to a kingdom for such a time as this? Esther, it is you that must be faithful to God. Thou art come. Thou art come. Esther, you are come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Esther was made to see she herself must be faithful. She had lived with Mordecai after her parents died, and Mordecai, this godly uncle, no doubt would have taught her the things of God. He would have directed her in the ways of God as a child. But now the time had come for Esther herself personally to take up this challenge of being faithful to God. Humanly speaking, the hope of Israel rested upon her. Only she could go in before the king and plead the cause of her people. She could not hide behind anyone else or anything else. She herself must step forward. And she herself personally must be faithful to God. The finger of duty and of responsibility pointed in her direction. The challenge of being faithful to God is something that we must each face as individuals. Brother, my sister, it's me. Been faithful. We cannot hide behind a denomination. We cannot hide behind a church and say, well, you know, I go to a church that preaches the gospel, that believes the Bible, that endeavors to defend the truth. And that's good and that's proper. But we cannot hide behind that in our responsibility for standing for God. We cannot. The reality is the world will never notice if we're faithful as a church or a denomination. We'll never take note. It expects that. However, they will notice if we're faithful to God as individuals, living in communities, living in families, working in society. The world will take note and recognize if we are honoring God in our lives, if we've been faithful to God. Think of Joseph. He was a young man that was faithful to God in every aspect of his life. When he was in Potiphar's house as a slave, they recognized a faithful man. And he was put in charge of everything. As he was even in the prison, they recognized a faithful man. And he was put in charge of the prisoners. And then as he was taken out into the palace, it was recognized here was someone that was unique. A man in whom the truth of God was. And he was given such honor, such respect, such authority. Because he was faithful as an individual. You see, this is something we must all face as individuals. We cannot hide behind our parents. We cannot hide behind our church. We must ask ourselves personally, am I been faithful? Am I been faithful to my children? Am I been faithful to my grandchildren? Am I been faithful to my wider family circle? Am I been faithful in my community, in my workplace? Am I standing for God? Am I standing for God? What a challenge faced Esther. A challenge that threatened her very life. And yet she faced this challenge with courage. Notice finally here the time to be faithful. Not only the challenge of being faithful and the responsibility of being faithful, but the time to be faithful. The time to be faithful is now. Mordecai, thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. As Mordecai speaks to Esther, he is reminding her of the urgency to be faithful. God has made you this beautiful, attractive woman and has brought you into the palace in his providence for this day, for this time, so you might be faithful now. Therefore, you must be faithful today. And that is what Mordecai is telling Esther. Tomorrow will be too late. It is today. You are come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You must be faithful here and now. Right now. Because God in his providence has brought you to this particular time that you might honor him now. As we live in this world, in this particular generation, how often it is the cause or the case that we bemoan the sin that is seen so openly all around us. Evil is called good and good is called evil. And that which is immoral is accepted. What God is called an abomination is even promoted. As we look back over the past years in our land, we can truly say evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. And you know, at times we almost despair and fear for the next generation. Now often it has been said, what will become of the next generation? What will become of the church? Depleted numbers? Smaller works? But we must recognize that God in his providence and wisdom has brought his children into this world at this particular time that they might be faithful to him in this generation. You see, what was said of Esther can be said of every single Christian. Thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. God is in control of all that happens. We are here in this world, each one of us. We are all in this world at this particular time in God's sovereign purpose and plan. You're here at God's appointed time to be faithful to him today. In this wicked generation. Some people think, well, if revival came, I would really get behind God's work. And I would really be in the thick of it. And I would really be in the midst of it all. And I would stand for God. And I would be bold. And I would be courageous. God's not asking you to do that. Forget about that. God's asking for you to stand today. Now. In this generation. That's what God wants of you. You see, thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. If Esther had not have been faithful at that time, God's work would still have continued. Mordecai makes her aware of this. He says to her, if I altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and their deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. God's cause would still have continued. It would still have advanced. Mordecai makes her aware of that. But what he says is this. If you're not faithful today, you and your generation will be lost. You and your father's house will perish. If we are not faithful to God today and live for him, God's cause will continue. As I've already said, God will always maintain his cause. What about the generation? What about the next generation? You see, the responsibility lies with us. Being faithful to God today. This day. Tomorrow. The next day. Every day. Being faithful to God. If we're not, then this generation will be lost. And perhaps generations to come will be lost. What a grave responsibility rests upon our shoulders to take up this challenge of being faithful to God today. Augustine said, the great theologian, he said this, pray as though everything depended on God and act if everything depended on you. That's what Esther did. She came here and she sought God. And then she went in before King Ahasuerus. And Ahasuerus accepted her request. And Haman, he was taken out and he was hanged on the gallows. And God's people after this experienced a time of great joy and a time of great increase. Notice what it says in chapter 8. Chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. Tell us the outcome of Esther's faithfulness, her boldness, her courage. Chapter 8, verse 16 says, The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Notice what happened. Suddenly the church is transformed. People are being converted. People are being saved from a state where they're about to be wiped out and destroyed from this position of weakness because someone was faithful. Because Esther stood. And Esther stood for truth and for God in a wicked day. The wickedest of days. God is looking for Esther's today. He's looking for Mordecai's that will stand for him and maintain his cause. We are come to the kingdom for such a time as this. May God enable us to be such people and give us courage and boldness to stand for him in our generation. Amen.